Prima Sango on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And DSTV Channel 856.
17 minutes after 9 o'clock, Nikki Severini is my guest. She is a talk show host. She's a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker. She is a facilitator of conversations, and she's here with me. Nikki, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Bobby. It is so lovely to be on the show.
Did you enjoy the previous conversation?
Loved it. Yeah? I love Leonard Carr. Yeah. I love the conversation, rich conversation, thought-provoking, and resonating with everybody, because it need to be having these discussions, and Leonard brings so much richness and insight to the conversation. Wonderful.
So wonderful. You and I were talking off air, and we were talking about how, yes, we need to continue with that conversation. I think the country needs to be having this conversation in far deeper ways at so many different levels, you know. But you want to talk to me about something related to the conversation that led. And by the way, it's completely coincidental. We didn't know that we would have that conversation. I didn't know, So it's great.
It is. It all came together.
I think it's all serendipitous stuff, right? So talk to me about the work.
Okay. Let me talk to you about the work. So the work, let me go back a little bit, Aubrey. So the work is really born out of a lady by the name of Byron Katie, an American lady. She's in her late 70s now, who was in a depression. She had been in a depression for about 10 years. She was suicidal, married, kids, and she was in a halfway house. And she went to sleep one night on the floor because her self-esteem was so low, she didn't believe she deserved to sleep on a bed. Yeah. And she woke up one morning and a cockroach crawled over her foot. And in the moment the cockroach crawled over her foot, she opened her eyes, she woke up. And this is how she describes it. Before her mind, her rational mind, had time to catch up, the identity, the ego, with all the stories and beliefs, before that mind had time to catch up, she looked around her and she experienced her world with absolute peace and joy. And she realized in that moment, cockroach and Alice. Listen, I'd also, as soon as the cockroach leaves my foot, I'd be delighted. I'd want to escape that reality. But the point is this, she believed very quickly that when you believe your thoughts, you suffer. When you question your thoughts, you don't. Very simple. Why do I love Byron Katie? I was very lucky to have interviewed her a few years ago. I knew nothing about her. I did a whole lot of research and I kind of fell in love. And it was at a time. Why did I fall in love? Because it's the how. And that's what I was saying to you. We can talk and talk and talk and talk. This is the how. It is a tool. I was going through a very, very dark time in my life. And within a period of 3 years, I lost a lot of people close to me. A lot of people died professionally, terrible, lots of levels. And I was in a very low place. And I had a car accident with my son. And it was such an epiphany for me, because it was after the car accident that I got home and I realized I'm so blessed to be alive. And I couldn't understand how that morning I'd woken up so depressed. Life was just hopeless. Life was difficult. Life was tiresome. Life was exhausting. And that evening, I'm filled with joy and gratitude that I'm alive. Like, what had happened? Yeah. I was still financially unstable. I was still in mourning. I was still depressed. I was still unemployed. All of those things, yet I was experiencing my world differently. Yeah. And so the realization was that it was not my reality that was creating the stress in my life. And it's very important to get that. It wasn't my reality. It was my thinking about my reality, the thoughts that I was having about my reality. And so I started on this journey, and I did a lot of Byron Katie's work, using it on myself, then using it in facilitation with other people. And I was lucky enough to go to her school in July, her school in Germany, and work very closely with her and groups of people. And just reinforcing this idea, Aubrey, that we all can be free of suffering within a short period of time. It is not psychotherapy. It is inquiry. And what you're doing is you're taking a stressful thought that you have, a story that you have, and you are asking four questions, and then you are trying to find a turnaround.
Before we get to the four questions, and yes, part of the reason why I wanted to start the conversation by saying what is the work is because in the previous conversation with Leonard, I suggested that when you go through psychotherapy, and he's a clinical psychologist, and that's probably the tools that he would want to use. If the clinical psychological way of dealing with trauma is psychotherapy, and it works at an individual level, can we do it at a collective level for groups, for society, for a country? Is it possible? And he said, yes. I said, but the work to do so would be of monumental biblical proportions. You then say that there is the work. You see, you see the serendipitousness of the
It is amazing.
Theory.
I love it.
And you're suggesting that, no, it is not necessarily about the how. It is about the understanding the what. Is that what you're saying?
It's actually the how.
It is the how.
Okay. It is the how. Because this is how you can do it. You take a stressful thought and you take a belief and you ask four questions. It's a meditation. We were talking off air and you were saying you take time out to meditate.
Sure, absolutely.
It is a meditation. So you ask yourself a question. So why do I say it's not psychotherapy? You can have a facilitator who asks the question, but the answers come from you. And if you quiet, if you are silent enough after you've asked the question, you anchor yourself in that moment. I'll demonstrate it with you just now. The answer comes up. And so what's amazing, and psychologists have looked at this process, is that you're changing the nervous system in the experience of going back to the experience of it.
Biologically,
so it's not going back to
physiologically?
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. It becomes an actual rewiring of the brain.
Oh, number one, 883-0702. I know she sounds crazy, hey? But you should see her eyes. There's like fire coming out of this woman's eyes as she speaks the things she's talking about. Her name is Nikki Seberini. We're talking about the work. We're talking about your thoughts, the interpretations that you put on to your thoughts. Could it be that the suffering that you're experiencing in any level, your anxiety, your confusion, your unhappiness about any particular issue is not necessarily because of the circumstances, but rather because of the way that you understand, the way that you think about those circumstances. That's what Nikki is saying. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on 011-883-0702. Have you had a time to stop and think about what is the role of your thoughts in your reality? And I suppose that's what we're talking about. You want to ask four questions.
Well, let's first look at the belief that we have at the moment and see if we can shift it before we even get to the four questions. And that is, a lot of us believe that we are cameras. So we're having an outside-in experience. In other words, whatever is happening in the external world is coming at me.
Yep.
And I'm just reacting to it. Yep. So I have no power. So in order for me to be happy, X, Y, and Z in the external world has to happen.
Yes.
I am this person because of all of these things happening. Whereas if we change the understanding, if we look at actually how it works, we are projectors, Aubrey. So anything that we are thinking and we are believing, we are projecting onto our reality, because all experience comes from the mind. So while there is one reality, we have our own very unique experience of that reality, because it is born out of our map of reality. So the past, this is what Leonard was talking about, all the things that have happened to us in childhood and all the way through, that impacts our map of reality, and the thoughts and the beliefs in the moment. We are projecting that onto our reality. Reality is neutral. It is what it is. You cannot fight reality. You cannot change reality. But if we all experience reality differently, we have a unique experience, this tells us we can change our experience of reality. And so if it is the thought, imagine the thought is the lens through which we project our reality. So it has, our suffering has nothing to do with reality. It has to do with the thoughts and the beliefs we have about our reality. So we can talk about a situation,
if you prick me now with your pen, right? You know,
I'll have to stab you. I don't think it, I mean, it's pretty blunt, Aubrey. Yeah, what are you asking me to do?
So if you were to stab me with that pen right now, it is most definitely an outside inside process,
mm-hmm.
right? How am I projecting that pain on me if you're stabbing me with a pen?
Okay, so I mean, we could have a whole philosophical discussion about this, but actually, you're experiencing the pain in your own brain. That's where you're experiencing it. You know, the sensory organs pick it up. Your skin feels the prick. It sends a message to the brain. It's happening from the inside out.
Sure.
So you have the external stimulus, the response, the way you respond is coming from you. So there are a few things you look at as well when we start looking at the question. So that is thought. And by the way, Aubrey, thoughts come and go. And thoughts are not personal. Thoughts come and go. So you're sitting here right now and you're breathing. And you're digesting your food and your heart is beating. So we could say that you're being breathed. Does that make sense? You're being breathed.
Because it's an involuntary thing that is happening even unconsciously.
Yeah, you are being breathed. The same goes with thought. You are being thought. Thoughts come and thoughts go. And what happens is we attach to our thoughts. And when we attach to our thoughts and we have the same kind of thinking, we then have a belief and then we have a story and we project that onto our reality. So the wonderful freeing belief or the realization is that we are not our thoughts.
011-883-0702. How long have you been thinking that you and your thoughts are one? I think, therefore I am. Eh? I'm thinking of Descartes now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
And that's really the fundamental principle that says that I and my thoughts are one. How I interpret the world is me. And you're saying that the way that particular foundational understanding of reality, that I and my thoughts are one, is the problem.
Exactly.
You're saying to me that as long as I don't understand that thoughts are not me, that reality is neutral, I will constantly be attaching my thoughts to me, and therefore I then have a story that is me.
Mm-hmm. You got it beautifully, Aubrey.
I got a couple of questions before I buy into the story.
Okay, so you've
got a couple
it.
Of questions.
You haven't bought it.
Not yet. No, I hear you. Uh-huh. I hear it's revolutionary stuff.
It is.
I mean, you and I can start a church
stuff.
Here.
It is crazy stuff.
It is some crazy stuff, right? But who is the me then that is having these thoughts? Who's the me that should realize that the me that is having these thoughts is not these thoughts.
Well, you mentioned Eckhart Tolle off air.
Yeah.
And that was his epiphany, was when he said, I can't continue to live with myself this way. That was his epiphany when he realized, well, who am I and who's myself?
Yeah.
Like who's who here? So there's something called metacognition. It's the knowing that we are thinking.
Yeah,
I know that I think. Homo sapiens, you get it. Yeah. Homo sapiens, we think and we know that we think.
Sure.
So there in itself is the separation. So we have the thought and then we have the observer of the thought. It is how it is. So how I see it, how Byron Katie sees it, is we have everything we need to be joyful, filled with love, connected, you and I connected, the world. We can sit and talk about the differences, the problems in the world. We have everything we need right now, Aubrey. It's in us. So we don't have to discover it. It's like there's nothing. We don't have to go outside. We don't have
to degree for this.
No, you don't.
Somebody's just don't saying, I feel like I need a degree for what you guys are talking about.
No, yeah? It's so simple. It is so, stay with me. I'm going to be doing some questions on you just now. You can go.
Okay, I'm going to be guinea pig.
Yes,
right? Yeah?
You can be my guinea pig.
Okay.
But this whole idea that you are already your essence, your being, the true Aubrey, the knowing mind, the Aubrey without identity, without ego, you are that. And this work is just allowing that to come out. It's self-discovery. It's allowing it to come out. We are that. We are already that. We don't need anything else. We don't need anyone to give us anything or do anything for us. We are that already.
So you're saying to me that the work is actually the awareness of the you before your thoughts. Your thoughts.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
I mean,
too.
I didn't. This is the first time we've met. Can you just, you
Isn't
know,
crazy
you explain it better than I ever have. You got it.
She's crazy, this woman. She's absolutely mad. All right, give us a call. 011-883-0702. We're having a bit of fun, but I think this is some very, very poignant, very, very powerful stuff that perhaps we've been incarcerated. We've been imprisoned by the idea that we are our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So if your thoughts are informed, you think you're really informed, yeah? If your thoughts aren't informed, you're not, right? But maybe you are beyond the thoughts. And if you're not your thoughts, maybe the story that has been created by your thoughts about who you are and what the world is, maybe that story is in itself as false as the idea that you are your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And if indeed you are not your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
but you've created the idea that you are your thoughts, then maybe you can change your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can change your thoughts, then maybe you can change your reality. Are those the implications?
I'm loving it.
Okay.
I'm going to go so far as to say it's not changing your thoughts. It's questioning your thoughts and asking them if they are true.
So is it so really true? Getting the bona fides?
That's it. Because changing a thought is kind of, it's not, there's no real permanence because I can think I'm changing my thought, or I could try put a positive thought on it, and I just call it sugarcoating. And then you're driving your car and a car pulls in front of you, and what happens? You know, the changed thoughts, the person inside, the identity, the ego comes flying out when you're under pressure. But this is a process of blowing the thoughts.
So I don't know if you've ever watched this. As you say this, it just comes back to my mind. I don't know what the movie is called. And Lee, maybe you might remind me. It's about these sharks.
Mm-hmm.
It's an animated thing. I've watched it with my kids. I can't even remember what it's called. But the one shark is called Bruce, right? It's an animated thing. And Bruce decides that he's going to be a vegetarian. A shark.
Love it. I like Bruce.
But Bruce decides he's going to be a vegetarian. He's not going to eat other fish anymore. And he's like, I don't eat other fish. I'm Bruce. I'm changing my thoughts about eating other fish and meat. And he's okay for a while. Until one of his friends, Bruce's friends, injures himself and actually bleeds. And the whiff of blood goes to Bruce's.
There we go.
And Bruce. Bruce loses. He loses all of that stuff because he needs a steak.
He needs blood. He needs to eat.
So I'm getting what you're saying here. Give me a call if you remember what that movie is. It's like an animated movie. I can't remember what it's called, but I think you get the point. So you're saying here.
Shark's Tale.
I think it's Shark's Tale. I think it's Shark's Tale.
I think.
Something like
that. Maybe.
But what you're saying here is that the goal is not to change our thoughts.
No.
But to question our thoughts.
Uh-huh.
To
and
question.
We can all do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's simple.
Okay, I'm looking forward to the exercise you're going to do with me as I become your guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Seberini is my guest, and we're talking about the work. The work here being you discovering that you are not your thoughts. That your thoughts are changing, ever present. They come into your mind and out of your mind, but you are not those thoughts. That reality is what you experience through those thoughts. Yeah?
Exactly.
And that life is not an out-in experience. It is rather an in-out experience. It is really the projection onto reality, that story that you've created by the principle that says, I and my thoughts are one.
Mm-hmm.
The work here is that I and my thoughts are not one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's me, and there's my thoughts. Who is me? Mm. Sorry, we've got so many calls. I need to go. Who is me? Who's me? I mean, talk to me about this metacognitive thing, because I think that's where the
issue is. So who is me? Yeah? I mean, you know, it's, I would just say my higher self, my connected self, that which is connected to you, which is connected to everything.
Sure. All right. Give me a call. 011-883-0702. Yeah. Is it Finding Nemo? No, it's not Finding Nemo, Lutwiano. Is it Finding Nemo? I don't think it's Finding Nemo.
I thought it was Shark Tale.
I think it's Shark Tale. Yeah. Anyway, that shark, just I can't stop laughing every time I see that.
The instinct.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to drink anymore, guys. Straight after the babalas, you know how it goes. Not drinking anymore. Lord, if you take me out of this, I will never drink a beer in my life again. I will serve you all of my life until the evening thereof. What is it called? Maybe that's not what you're talking about. Let's go straight to the lines. Angelo is in Johannesburg. Hi, Angelo.
Hello, good evening to you.
Yeah, go for it, Angelo.
To you and the lady conversation.
Yeah.
I was a severe alcoholic. I've been a sober for 7 years now.
Great stuff.
And I discovered that the mind is very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And you can be influenced by the outside.
Yes.
You have to learn to grow up as a child with the help of your parents to understand who you are.
Yes.
And I eventually had to understand, after nearly 35 years of alcoholism, to understand who I was. And then I find with time that it is something within me and out there that is very, very powerful.
Sure.
And that is where I've come to be very comfortable with myself. I've created a lot of problem within the family because of alcoholism. I've had to do work with society I'm with, and to ask people for forgiveness. I always have a basic thing that the gut feeling in life, sometimes you've got a problem, and there's a gut feeling, and the problem gets solved. And there is something, a force out there, as the lady's been pointing out, that we have to learn and discover to the benefit of oneself and the benefit to society and the family around everybody and everything.
Yeah. Angelo, thank you very much for your call. Yes. Much appreciated.
Great stuff. Beautifully put.
So this person on the WhatsApp line says, hi, Aubrey and your guest. I think I'm going through depression, and I always fantasize whenever I want to get my mind off things. Is this a good thing? You'll answer that question in a few moments' time. But let's quickly speak to Anne in Santon. Hi, Anne.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you, Anne.
I would just like to ask how I could come to terms and get over with the murder of my father.
And how, I'm so sorry to hear about your father, Anne. How awful. How long ago was your father murdered?
My father was murdered about 35 years ago. Mm. He was married, and he was stabbed through the heart with a knife. And he was left in a park without any clothes.
So under traumatic circumstances, and you know, every time you think about your father, you are reliving the horror movie. Mm-hmm. And it's 35 years ago, and for you, just hearing you describe it, it's as if you're describing something that happened very recently. And what the work does with a situation like this, Anne, is it goes to you finding the thought behind your father's murder. You know, my father shouldn't have been murdered, or I'm angry with whoever it is because my father died when I was young. Or you'll hear a little bit later when Aubrey and I work on it. And it's
I'm so struggling to hear you.
Okay. And perhaps what you need to do is listen on the radio. I think it'll be much better if you listen
maybe
on
I
the
need
radio.
To talk
because, yeah, just listen on the radio as Nikki responds to what you were saying. Just listen on the radio because I think we have a bit of a connection problem. All right. So you listen on the radio and in Santon. And someone might just be sitting 35 years ago and get over it. No.
No. No.
For her, it's still as if it has happened just yesterday.
Perhaps. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, Aubrey, you've got to look at past, present and future. And we live in the past and we are projecting into the future. And the past and the future impact our present moment. So you have Anne, and every waking moment she has this trauma of her father. And she relives the trauma as if it's happening. You know, it's the horror movie. We have these horror movies playing over in our minds over and over again. And so the like a question I want to ask you is, if I say, you know, can Aubrey, do you remember yourself having breakfast this morning? Can you see yourself? There's the Aubrey having breakfast. Yep. And you can see Aubrey having climbing into bed tonight, going to sleep, right? Yep. So there's Aubrey having breakfast, Aubrey here, and Aubrey going to bed. Which is the real Aubrey?
All three are the real Aubrey. Just at different times of an experience.
Mm, you know, you could sit with that and think about that for a while, but actually there's only one real Aubrey, and that's the Aubrey sitting in front of me in this moment.
Right.
The only real is this moment. And so what impacts this moment, Aubrey, is everything that's happened in the past and the projection of the future. We bring the stories, as we said, from the past that we're projecting. So with Anne, it's still so real for her because of all the stories and the belief she has about her father's death.
Yeah.
So we're not changing the reality. We are just questioning the thoughts. We put it up to the four questions and the turnaround. And by going into the feeling of it and turning things around, we're able to slowly eliminate the thoughts. So Anne, I would love to be able to spend more time doing it, but I'm hoping that when you listen to what we do with Aubrey just now, you'll get an idea, and I will always direct you to Byron Katie's website, where all of her work is for free, Aubrey. She wants everyone to have access to this work.
Yeah.
It is amazing, amazing work. And it's thework.com, available to everyone.
I want you to do the work right now because I'm worried about our time, and I don't know whether we've got 15 minutes left.
Okay.
Do you think we can do some of that work?
Let's go
in
for
15
it.
Minutes?
Yeah.
All right. The work is about to begin.
All righty. So we have a feeling, and the feeling comes from a thought. So you have a thought and then you feel it in your body. So very often when you get a feeling that doesn't feel good, you get a defensive reaction, you're angry or you're sad or you're scared, it's because you are believing something, you're thinking something. So if we had to just think of a thought, a stressful thought that you have, or some kind of statement or belief that you have that we can work on. So
the idea that I may have to stop eating pork chops. Or do we need something a little more substantial?
So let's look at it as a belief of, because you may have to. So what is the belief behind it? That I'm not healthy enough, or I need to, I need to
lose a bit of weight.
Okay. I'm overweight?
Yeah.
Because what would be the story behind it?
The story behind it. I mean, the real story behind it is that I'm appearing more publicly, right? People are actually starting to see what I look like. It's great when people don't know what you look like, right? So I'm appearing more publicly, and there are these people.
I think
people
you look great, Aubrey, just by the way.
Thank you.
Really, it's nonsense.
Can somebody please just
fantastic.
Register that? Anyway,
yes.
But some of these stylists are saying, Aubs, you know, we need to fit you in these kinds of suits. We need to, so you got to, you know. Anyway, so I bought into that nonsense. And part of what people are trying to say, including Tating here, is that, you know, I've got to start, like, avoiding the pap.
You're projecting.
Yeah.
You're projecting. So let's work on this.
Okay.
We don't have much time.
Right.
So should we work on I need to lose weight?
Yeah, okay.
We're keeping it very surface for now, but it's very real. A lot of people out there. Okay. So the wonderful thing about the work, Aubrey, is this may be your thought, I need to lose weight, but there's so many people out there who are going to relate to what we're doing. The work is not just about you working. I'm learning when I do the work with you. So we're going to put it up to four questions.
Yeah.
The first two questions, one syllable, it's either a yes or no. And what I encourage you to do when I ask you the question is there are going to be moments of silence because you need to just sit and, as we said, just see what comes up.
Okay.
It's your answer. Okay. So, Aubrey, you need to lose weight.
Yeah.
Is it true? It's just a yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. So, Aubrey, you need to lose weight. Can you absolutely know that it's true?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you react?
What can I absolutely know that is true? That I need to lose weight?
Mm.
Yes.
You can absolutely know. And you know, the reaction to go into thinking mind, this is identity, ego, all of these things, that's your belief.
Yeah.
You know, I need to lose weight.
Yeah.
When I said the work is meditation, it's really sitting with it and see what comes out. Can you absolutely know? And it doesn't, there's no right or wrong here.
Yeah.
You could bring a yes or no. Can you absolutely know that you need to lose weight? And when you sit with it,
can I absolutely know that I need to lose weight? No, I can't absolutely know. Because I only know that on the basis of the information that I get and how I respond to that information based on issues of my ego and so forth and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, one syllable, yes or no? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you react? How do you behave when you believe the thought, I need to lose weight?
I start thinking about all that rabbit food they're making me eat. Gee, and I'm not happy. But hey, I've got to lose weight, right?
So you're not happy?
No, I'm not digging that.
So those are future thoughts. Those are future images of the food you're going to eat.
Yeah.
What comes up? Any past images?
The food that I've
got. Well, whatever. When you think, I need to lose weight, what lots images of past and future come up?
Lots of carrots, man. Carrots and more carrots. And carrots and carrots.
Come out, Aubrey.
Sorry.
Come back to us.
Right. So that's what happens to me, right? Mm. So when I'm...
You get lost.
Yeah, I don't like to have to eat all of these carrots and lettuce and... drink lots and lots and lots of water. They call it rehydrating, by the way. It's a pretty traumatic thing.
So traumatic, you're not happy.
No.
You have images of the future, of all the food you're going to eat. Have you got any images of the past that come up?
When you think I need to lose weight? Kentucky fried chicken, the prawns. Oh.
Where do you feel it in your body, Aubrey, when you think I need to lose weight?
I feel it around about here, my chest, sort of abdomen area.
Chest and diaphragm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And my head. And in my hands, I'm feeling it right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Aubrey, who or what would you be if you didn't have the thought, I need to lose weight?
Well, it'd probably still be me.
How would you be?
I'd probably... be having less thoughts of carrots than I usually do. I'd probably be having less thoughts of the pain in my thighs because of the squats that I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably have to have less thoughts of the fact that, sure, the good thing is that I don't have those sugar cravings that I used to have like 3 weeks ago.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
But we're out of inquiry, but that is amazing.
Sorry.
Now, you're saying I probably. So you're projecting. So let's feel into it. So that's where the getting quiet with yourself and going, who would I be if I didn't have the thought I need to lose weight? Really connect with that. You're saying I probably will be this. Feel into who you would be if you didn't have that thought.
I would be me.
Hmm.
Without those thoughts.
Feel it.
I don't understand what feeling that means.
Free. Here, this moment.
Yeah, free. Free, hmm. Yes.
You can feel that. You can feel the freedom.
Absolutely.
I
feel the freedom.
You feel the freedom.
Yes.
Okay. And you hear. Because
Once
you don't have the thoughts, you're not going into the past and the future.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the four questions. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react? How do you feel when you believe that thought? And who would you be without the thought? And now we take a turn around. So we're taking that thought and we're turning it around and we're seeing if the opposite is as true or perhaps even truer. So I need to lose weight. What's the opposite of that?
I don't need to lose weight.
Can you give me an example of why you don't need to lose weight? Can you find some kind of truth in that?
Because if I don't have to, if I don't need to lose weight, then I don't have to worry about the carrots. Can we honest with you? I have nightmares of carrots chasing me.
Really?
I do. I have lettuce chasing me in my dreams. Big pieces of tomato chasing me in my dreams.
Opie, that is terrible.
It's terrible stuff.
You need to come back to the present moment.
Okay, let's
please,
yeah.
Please, back to the present yes. moment. So, Aubrey, we take that. So I need to lose weight. I don't need to lose weight.
Yeah.
Okay. So then go to, because you've done to I, you'll go just my thinking. It's just my thinking that needs to lose weight.
Yes.
Really? Can you see that?
I like the fact that I'm more mobile. I don't feel as lethargic as I used to. I like that. I like the fact that I can climb. I've got young kids, so... I love the fact that I've got more energy, that I can run with them. I can do also. I love that. Whew, it's that food. It's those carrots. Mm.
And it's also for you. I mean, we've taken something like, I need to lose weight. We can take things, this person doesn't respect me, this person doesn't like me, sure. et cetera, What's creating a lot of stress in your life is this projection into what you're going to be eating, what you're giving up, what you're going to be eating. You're not happy about it. And remember, I said it's always coming back to now, this moment, this present moment. In this moment now, do you need to lose weight?
No.
In this moment now, you are 100% fine.
I'm very happy right now.
Right. There's no comparison. There's nothing. If you choose when you leave here to eat a carrot or to eat a hamburger or whatever, we don't know, because the future doesn't exist for us. It's just in our imagination. So in this, it's always bringing it back to in this moment right now. So we've taken this concept of the four questions, and we've very, very briefly explained how we do it. But what you normally do is you fill in a judge your neighbor worksheet, and we work on different statements. And each statement we put up to the four questions. And what is powerful about it, Aubrey, is once you blow it, you blow it. It's not sugarcoating it. It's not changing it. It's changing your relationship.
See, that's very, very powerful. That whole idea. And by the way, all of you that are saying that it's Finding Nemo, it is most definitely Finding Nemo.
Is it Finding? Yep,
Finding Nemo.
I was wrong. Okay.
It is Finding Nemo.
I love
Nemo.
That's the response you got. Finding
absolutely.
Nemo.
Everybody's like, no, it's Finding Nemo. Absolutely Finding Nemo. The important thing that I'm learning out of all of this, and let me see if I can bring an implication of what I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning that I don't have to be imprisoned by my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
or the idea that my thoughts and I are one, right? I don't have to be a prisoner of that idea. I'm also learning that if all of that is true, if this enlightenment is true, then I choose what is real. It's me that chooses what is real. It's a very empowering thought,
mm-hmm.
in that I can choose right now not to be a prisoner of the carrots and the lettuce and what they even do in my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what carrots
do. Horrific. You have tomatoes too.
You have no idea what carrots do in a person's dream. Anyway, but I don't have to suffer that kind of indignity.
No.
Right? I don't.
Mm-mm.
So, in the next 5 minutes, because that's all we have, how do we take a collective, a group, and bring them to this realization? Is that possible?
Of course.
Or is it something that can only happen individually?
It's individual work, but you can definitely do it in a group. So, as I said to you, one person doing the work, the group listening to that person doing the work is doing the work as well. So you can work with lots and lots and lots of people, because there are no new stressful thoughts. They're just concepts. And so someone can listen to your inquiry and they internalizing it and asking themselves their own question. But it's something that's available to everyone. I mentioned to you very quickly that in Zimbabwe there's an amazing initiative called the Friendship Bench. And Dixon Chibanda is a psychiatrist in Harare. And I don't know if you know this, but There are 12 practicing psychiatrists in Zimbabwe, and there are over 16 million people. That's one psychiatrist for every 1.5 million people. And he had a shocking experience with someone committing suicide. He said, we've got to get more people out there helping the people. Yeah. And so he got gogos in the society, the grandmothers, to sit. They had no training, except they had experience and they had wisdom. And what he did was he trained them just to ask questions and to listen. And what's interesting is that in Shona, the word for depression is kufungisisa. And what does that mean? Thinking too much. That's all it is. So sitting with someone and someone asking you questions, so the answer comes from you. And I love that, because that's what this work is about. It's no one telling you how to live. It comes from you. So absolutely a collective. You sit there, you do it. Lots of people can do it all the time. It's there. Sure. It's freedom, 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 freedom. The world is not coming at us. We are coming at the world. And that opens everything up. When we believe that we are the victims of the external circumstance, we suffer. We spend our lives trying to manipulate the external world. You live, you work in this, in 702. You're watching news all the time. Sure. And as Byron Katie says, everyone, we're all believers. So I believe this and you believe that, and I've got to try and get you to believe what I believe. I may kill you, I may manipulate you, I may turn away from you, but you're just believing what you're believing, and I'm believing what I'm believing. And if we can question that, and we can, I can, and peace starts with me. It doesn't start with you, Aubrey. Peace is not going to happen when you see it the way I do. Peace is going to happen when I clear my mind. And that's when you're going to have connection and collaboration and people coming together. It's very, very powerful.
Will you come back again?
I'd love to.
Yeah?
I'd love to.
But do you realize that we can't just have this conversation now and then that's it?
I'd love to. So, I love how quickly you have picked this up. Yeah. I love that.
To be honest, I have been doing that kind of work on myself.
Clearly.
And it has changed the way that we mine content, even for this show. I hold the very, very firm view that what we do at the moment is not necessarily what's being done mainstream radio at the moment, but we are changing it because we are looking for transformative content, content that is about making people understand that higher me, that makes people understand that I am not a victim of my own thoughts. I am not a victim. Yeah. That's the kind of content that we're looking for. Content that is going to bring people next to themselves. What do the Americans say? Pinch yourself and get next to yourself. That's what we're trying to do here.
Love it.
And I think that that is part of the reason why we're trying to develop the kind of content that we're developing that's starting to attract people like you onto this platform that talk the kinds of strange things that you're talking about. And I want to thank you very much for coming.
Well, I applaud you. Really, really I applaud it. You for opening the doors and, you know, getting people to think that way. That-